You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat! The ball is free! Denver's got a touchdown, Denver!
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Is it only Tuesday? Come on. It's game week over here, and I'm tired of waiting for Saturday to come as Broncos football is back. Preseason action opens up this Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, columnist over at Predominantly Orange and NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the National Football League. My co-host, Cameron Parker, is out today due to being ill, so Cam will rejoin us as soon as he's feeling better. So obviously, Cam, feel better. We look forward to you returning to Locked On Broncos here soon. Obviously, today, I'm going to be introducing a new segment here on Locked On Broncos that we're going to start doing, and we're going to start doing it today. Now, it's called Hot Take Tuesday. We'll be talking about some of the biggest hot takes of the day or the week regarding the Broncos. But to open up tonight's show, we're going to talk about this whole fiasco regarding Marquette King, and I'm going to explain to you guys why it's really not a big deal and why people should move forward. In our second segment, we'll be bringing you the heat with Hot Take Tuesday, where I talk about some of my hot takes regarding the backup quarterback spot and also some positional battles as well and what the Denver Broncos might do. Even some season predictions, we're going to see about that. And in our third segment and final segment of the show, we're going to be taking a look back in time when the Denver Broncos and the Minnesota Vikings have previously played, despite this Saturday's matchup being a preseason game. We're going to go back in history and revisit Broncos versus Vikings. Our episode of Locked On Broncos is brought to you today by Vivid Seats, and we'll get to them in just a little bit. But let's open up right now. So let's talk about this Marquette King thing right now. Plain and simple. To be honest with you, I think that this whole entire thing is being blown, quite frankly, I think it's being blown out of proportion. And the reason that I say that is because, to be honest, go back and look at the radio personalities. Look at Marquette King. Like, to be honest with you, Marquette King is a very, very exquisite personality. He's got a tremendous personality. He's more than just a football player, and I think that's really where this issue is really stemming from. So apparently the issue apparently lies within Marquette King's interview with Brandon Stokely and Zach Bye over there at 104.3 The Fan. Now, to me personally, I listened to the interview. In my opinion, I felt like they didn't really open up the interview very well with him. It was mainly just football questions. It wasn't a how are you doing. It wasn't anything trying to get to know Marquette King. And from that point, you know, they kind of sounded a little bit disinterested as well. And apparently the sub-story behind this is after the interview was done, you know, Marquette King apologized for, you know, coming off as a certain way, apparently, according to Zach Bye. Which, you know, if he opened up to that after the fact, great, you know what? No hard feelings. However, local personality, D-Mac, once again, D-Mac strikes again. And you know what, to be honest with you, I'm not going to sit up here and bash anybody because, you know, who am I to do that? I'm just going to say that there is a trend in Denver media specifically right now where D-Mac really does poke the bear sometimes. He pokes the bear at a lot of NFL players, a lot of Broncos players, more notably Emmanuel Sanders last year. Hey, they've had, you know, their issues, their public spats out there on Twitter. This one right here, Marquette King. Now, I get it. Marquette King is a new guy. He's a personality. You know, he's a wild spirit. And you can tell that out there on the field. You know, when he was an Oakland Raider and he was doing the ride the Bronco dance after punting it 60-something yards, that gets under your skin because you're a Broncos fan. He's doing that against you. However, I'm telling you, it's just like Aqib Talib. You hate Aqib Talib if he is not on your team. You love him if he is on your team. I say the same thing here with Marquette King. You don't like him if he's not on your team. You love him if he's on your team, though. If he's not on your team, you don't like him. If he's on your team, you love him. That's sports. To be honest with you, that's sports. Look at Kobe. You know, if you're a Denver Nuggets fan, you hate Kobe Bryant when they come to Denver. Back when Kobe was playing, you hated it because lobbying for calls, you'd have a lot of Lakers fans in the crowd. You just hated that dynamic. Peyton Manning, when Peyton Manning played for the Colts, you hated playing against Peyton Manning. Not because he was a personality, but because he was a damn good quarterback. Plain and simple, he's a damn good quarterback. But Marquette King is a punter. So I've read some things on Facebook. Now to get before that, you know, Marquette King has done some interviews with other local media, Altitude 950, Scott Hastings, Julie Brownman. Go listen to that. It was a great interview. Vic Lombardi over at Altitude 950 replayed that this morning, and they were just fine. The interviews were about something more than just football. It was about some things that Marquette King's interested in doing on his free time, things like that. That stuff is great, because then we just get to know Marquette King. We know Marquette King, the football player. Now we get to know Marquette King, the person. Now, let's destroy the overreaction. I see guys on Facebook, I see guys on Twitter, they're blasting Marquette King saying, you know, they need to cut him. The Broncos need to get rid of him. He's another cancer in the locker rooms. Chill out. How do you know? The teammates, Broncos teammates really like Marquette King. Shelby Harris stuck up for Marquette King on social media the other day, period. He publicly said, stop going after him. There's nothing wrong with him. He's a great teammate. We love him in the locker room. So put that to rest there. He's not a bad teammate. He's an energetic personality. Absolutely. I love it. It makes the game a little more entertaining. He's a punter that is absolutely talented at what he does. One of the best in the NFL, period. Plain and simple. Powerful leg. And I mean, being at Broncos camp and seeing him punt it, if you haven't been out there, you're missing out. I'm not telling you. It's awesome. It's an awesome thing to see. Now, let's destroy this overreaction. Like I said, you got the guys on Facebook, you got guys on Twitter blasting him. I think everybody needs to relax and understand the history of what's really happened here with D-Mac and other players. Look, I've seen some pretty distasteful comments about Marquette King. Should Marquette King have approached D-Mac at practice personally? No, I don't think so. I don't think that was a very good move. However, D-Mac was also pushing the narrative that Marquette King didn't want to be in Denver. I don't buy it. Marquette King could have signed anywhere. He chose to come to Denver. He loves it in Denver. He's going to be a phenomenal pickup in Denver, and I guarantee you when he's punting 70-yard punts at Broncos Stadium a mile high, nobody's going to say a word about it, period. Nobody's going to react to it. So I don't buy it. Relax. Let's all move forward. Marquette King's move forward. All the other media places that have done interviews with Marquette King have done a phenomenal job. Marquette King did a great interview with them. Let's move on. There's no need to overanalyze it. Marquette King is a good dude. You got people on there saying he's a terrible person and they've never met him. Now, I will share with you guys real quick my experience with Marquette King last Wednesday when I was at Broncos camp. He didn't even, you know, he wasn't scheduled to talk with the media or anything. He was coming off after practice. He looks at all the media guys. He waves his hand. He nods and he says, hello, how are you guys? You know, there's stuff like that. He's, you know, he's going in now. He didn't have to say a word. Yeah, some players, they just walked in, didn't say a word to any of the media. You know, even though the media waved. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact that Marquette King would take the time out of his day to wait for the media, say, hi, how are you doing? Ask that question, then go in the locker room. There's nothing wrong with that. People are looking too much into this whole Marquette King thing. I think it's not a big deal. Not a big issue at all. So let's stop making it out to be. You know, I feel like it was really important to address that because the media can really take something like this and run with it. I don't think there's something that we should really, really waste our time with. But coming up in just a few moments, we'll be diving into our first ever Hot Take Tuesday segment. But before we jump into that, I'd like to tell you guys about the sponsor of this episode of Locked On Broncos. Now, Vivid Seats is an online ticket marketplace that is dedicated to providing fans like yourself with live entertainment and experiences that will last you and your family a lifetime. Vivid Seats offers great prices for NFL games and other live events. Now with the NFL returning, Locked On Broncos listeners can receive 10% off of their first purchase with Vivid Seats. You go to vividseats.com or download the podcast and enter promo code Locked On. There's new customers only. If you've already have a Vivid Seats account, this will not apply to you. So if you're a new customer over there at Vivid Seats, the offer is good through the end of August. Now all Vivid sets are really confirmed and backed by 100% guarantee, so your money back if you don't like it. Now, with the return of the NFL, everything's going. The Broncos and the Minnesota Vikings kick off this Saturday in preseason action. So this season, don't sit around watching the Broncos from home when you can be at Broncos Stadium at Mile High in the crowd cheering in person thanks to Vivid Seats. Now, Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Broncos listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code Locked On. Once again, that's using promo code Locked On. New customers are only available to take this offer, and it's good through the end of August, so all throughout the preseason. There are preseason and regular season tickets available right now. The Denver Broncos kick off their home preseason opener this Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings, and you can be there for the excitement. Like I said, go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, the NFL is back, and you can have your seat right there, Broncos Stadium, Mile High, as the Minnesota Vikings and the Denver Broncos do battle this Saturday. And also get your tickets for the NFL regular season. The Broncos open up their season with the Seattle Seahawks, and you can be there in person. Tell them Locked On Broncos sent you. So obviously, you know, the Hot Take Tuesday, I like this idea. Everybody's dropping their hot takes left and right. And to be honest with you, I don't really drop a lot of hot takes because I don't want to sound like one of those people looking for attention, period. I like the hot takes. I like listening to other people drop hot takes. But myself, I don't like to make predictions. And you hear me say this every year. People ask me, you know, what's your predictions on the Denver Broncos? What's the record? I don't predict records, period. I don't like to do that. I think that's a bad superstition. Going back to when I was a kid, used to pull out the calendar and used to write WWW, you know, which games I thought the Broncos would win versus which games I thought the Broncos would lose. And to be honest with you, my predictions never, ever came close. So I stopped doing that a long time ago. But we're going to introduce to you guys right here, right now, our new segment that we're going to do every Tuesday, Hot Take Tuesday. And let's start off with the quarterback position. Now, Case Keenum. I have a hot take on Case Keenum that I believe, I think is very reasonable. I think is very realistic. Chris Harris Jr. spoke to the media earlier in the week and said that he believes that this Denver Broncos offense can put up 30 points per game with Case Keenum and Bill Musgrave's system. He calls Bill Musgrave the mad scientist. So that's a really cool nickname there from Chris Harris. But I do think that Case Keenum, here's my hot take regarding Case Keenum. He's going to throw for 3,700 yards this year, and he's going to throw 35 touchdown passes. 3,700 yards in the air and 35 touchdowns. Look at all the weapons he has at wide receiver. Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, Jake Butt, and even some of these other guys that might emerge. Tim Patrick might emerge out of nowhere and have a roster spot, be a rotational figure on this Denver Broncos team. There's a lot of talent on this Broncos offensive side of the ball. You see a lot of the tailbacks getting utilized as well. I think Case Keenum is going to have a year where he's going to throw for 3,700 yards and 35 touchdowns. That's just my hot take. You can agree with me. You can disagree with me. Either way, I love you. Period. I love you. Now, another hot take. Let's talk about the Broncos backup quarterback spot for just a second. Now, this has been a big kind of question mark for a lot of people going through in training camp and hearing people talk about, oh, the Broncos will have a backup quarterback. Oh, you know, I think if the struggles continue in that facet where both Paxton Lynch and Chad Kelly are young. Chad Kelly is the youngest. Chad Kelly is the most inexperienced. He hasn't had a full NFL training camp right now. So factor that in. But Paxton Lynch continues to struggle. If he does continue to struggle, here's my hot take regarding the backup quarterback position. Now, it's rumored that the Jets are going to part ways with Teddy Bridgewater. If that's the case, I do think that the Denver Broncos bring in Teddy Bridgewater to be the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Now, if they do sign him, it may not be something where they just say right away he's the backup quarterback. I think it involves preseason play. But primarily, here's why I think that might be something. Last year, Teddy Bridgewater on the Minnesota Vikings, Case Keenum on the Minnesota Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater was a very, very vocal point for Case Keenum throughout the entire season when Case Keenum took over the team. He led the Vikings to an 11-3 record as a starter there and obviously the number one seed in the NFC. Teddy Bridgewater was there the entire time. He had all those conversations with Case Keenum. They have that rapport together, and that almost kind of makes sense. And this whole scenario, with all the question marks due to youth, inexperience, and if Case Keenum were to go down, and hopefully he never does, hopefully the O-line keeps him upright, he can stay healthy. If he stays healthy, fine. But in the instance that Case Keenum all of a sudden got banged up or couldn't play, Broncos country, I don't think a lot of people are really confident right now in either Chad Kelly or Paxton Lynch being the guy that comes in on the field. I don't think that's the case. Now, no, I was actually almost a pun intended. That's not the case. That's crazy. I'm thinking out loud here. But bringing in Teddy Bridgewater gives it kind of insurance policy, I think, that the Denver Broncos could utilize as a backup quarterback. Because their whole situation right now has a lot of question marks. So that's my hot take on the backup quarterback spot. We have, for Case Keenum, 3,700 yards, 35 touchdown passes, backup quarterback. The Broncos will bring in a veteran quarterback to back up Case Keenum. If they, Chad Kelly and Paxton, don't shine in the preseason, that guy's going to be Teddy Bridgewater. You heard it here first on Locked On Broncos. Now, my other side's on the defensive side of the ball. Hot take number three. Von Miller will have 15-plus sacks in 2018. Now, here's why. I think there's going to be a lot of interior pressure from Clinton McDonald, Domantas Peko, other guys rotating on the inside, Shelby Harris, and also combine that with the outside pressure from Bradley Chubb, Shane Ray, and Shaquille Barrett. I think those guys right there will play well enough, cause enough problems for an offensive line, for offensive coordinators, that I think that'll allow Von to thrive in more one-on-one matchups rather than being triple-teamed every play. Because, to be honest with you, the Denver Broncos defensive line stays as strong as it is right now. And they keep playing. They keep plowing over right now. And obviously, preseason factor has to go away. They have a lot of depth right now in the defensive line room. It's going to be very, very tough determining who gets rid of who. You know, the Broncos have a lot of depth at D-line. And unfortunately, unfortunately, they can only keep so many guys. So my hot take is Von Miller will get 15 plus sacks in 2018 because guys like, you know, Bradley Chubb, Shaquille Barrett, Shane Ray, Clinton McDonald, Domantas Peko, Derek Wolfe, those guys will create enough problems for the offensive line, for guards, for tackles, that they can't afford to triple team Von Miller. And he's going to get those positions to obviously make those plays. So 15 plus sacks for Von Miller in 2018. Tell me if you like it. Tell me if you love it. Tell me if you think I'm crazy. Either way, I love you. Another thing, my final hot take here on our Hot Take Tuesday segment. I love this thing. I'm excited about it, and I can't wait to keep doing this over here at Locked On Broncos. Now, Brandon McManus, here's my hot take. He will, in 2018, he will attempt an NFL record long field goal this regular season, and he's going to make it. He's boomed it before from 70 in practice. It's a little different when you have guys coming at you, but this is something I've always wanted to see from the Denver Broncos. The one time he actually tried to attempt a record long field goal, it got blocked, and that's not his fault. That was just another mess about last year, and it was absolutely crazy. But special teams coordinator Tom McMahon has put him in a position to where he's attempted 60-yard plus field goals in practice. So obviously when game action comes, you're going to have the opportunity to play with that. You know, maybe there's like 3 seconds left in the first half, in the second quarter, and you're maybe at that point where you can attempt a 65, 67, maybe, heck, maybe even a 68-yard field goal. The Broncos will do it. They'll absolutely do it. They'll attempt it with Brandon McManus. He will do that this year in 2018, and I think he will make it. I think he'll secure the NFL record this year in Denver for the longest field goal in NFL history. You heard it here first, Locked On Broncos. I can't wait. Hopefully all these things happen. If all four of these things happen, you call me Nostradamus. I might have some inside intel there from the universe. I don't know. I could have taken the DeLorean back in time, and who knows? Maybe I got some inside information you guys don't know yet. I just can't really share without revealing my sources, but it's just something I'm excited about. So I hope you're excited about that. That's our Hot Take Tuesday. And also, we're going to start incorporating you, the fans, your hot takes on Tuesday. You can send them over to me on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL and the Twitter handle at LockedOnBroncos. All your hot takes starting next week, Hot Take Tuesday, from myself, from Cameron, the show, and you, the fans. You send your hot takes in, we read them on air, and we talk about it. I like it. I think it's bold. I think it's fun. I think it's going to be a segment that you, the fans, can really get into. So very excited about all those. I know you are. Broncos football is almost back. The Broncos and the Vikings meet this Saturday for a 7 o'clock p.m. kickoff at Broncos Stadium at Mile High. We'll be looking into some of the Broncos-Vikings matchups here in just a moment from the last three times the team has played in the regular season in our Blast from the Past preview. We'll also be joined this week for a Locked On Broncos, Locked On Vikings crossover show with Jason Reed, the host of Locked On Vikings podcast. You won't want to miss it. The Locked On Podcast Network has everything that you need. Your team every day. So let's go back to our blast from the past over here at Locked On Broncos. Now, we're going to take a look at the last three matchups that the Denver Broncos and the Minnesota Vikings have had in the NFL regular season. And we're going to start it off by taking it all the way back to 2007. I believe I was in eighth grade at this point. I think I was. Yes, I was in eighth grade at this point. And the Denver Broncos took on the Minnesota Vikings in Denver. Now, at this time, Tarvarius Jackson was the quarterback for the Vikings, and they still had a very young and fresh Adrian Peterson. The Broncos, at this point, a quarterback, they had Jay Cutler still, and they had Mike Shanahan. He was still the coach of the Denver Broncos. Now, in this game, Jay Cutler threw two touchdown passes, one to Brandon Marshall, one to Tony Scheffler. That's a guy I miss, Tony Scheffler. I don't know if a lot of Broncos, I hope a lot of Broncos fans remember. Send me a tweet right now if you hear this, at CodyRourkeNFL. If you remember Tony Scheffler, he was a boss. I loved him. He was one of my favorite tight ends in the NFL at that point when the Broncos were playing. The Broncos, at one point in the fourth quarter, they had a 19-3 lead. And things looked to be safe for the Denver Broncos at that point. However, the Vikings came rambling back. Now, Tarvarius Jackson led the Vikings on a wild comeback. He connected with Bobby Wade for two touchdown passes in the fourth quarter alone. And they would go on to tie the game at 19-19. And the team, obviously, the game would go into overtime. Now, at this point, the Vikings would get the ball to start in overtime. And at this point, you're sitting there like, oh my goodness, the Broncos just had a 19-3 lead. They blew it. The Vikings get the ball and they're driving down the field. Well, not so fast. Alvin McKinley came out of nowhere for a huge sack and forced a fumble on Tarvarius Jackson that was recovered by Elvis Dumervil. This was a time when the Broncos still had Doomerville, no Faxgate. And the best part about this story, guess who comes out and kicks the game-winning field goal? Jason Elam would come onto the field to kick the field goal, and the Broncos would walk off with a 22-19 win. They'd finish the season 7-9. This was also a time when the Broncos had Selvin Young as their premier tailback for the Denver Broncos. Sink that in for a moment. That was a little bit ago. 2007, man, where were you on this date, and do you remember this game? Tweet me, at CodyRourkeNFL. December 4, 2011, the Denver Broncos had traveled to Minnesota where they took on a very, very struggling Vikings team. It was 2-10 at the time. The score after the first quarter would almost resemble that of a baseball score of 7-5. Broncos would be up. Mario Hagan had an interception return for a touchdown at that point. The Vikings would have a safety forced by Jared Allen, and they would kick the field goal to obviously give them a score of 5. So the Denver Broncos, after one, up 7-5. The Vikings would go up on the Broncos 15-7 at halftime following a touchdown pass from Christian Ponder to Kyle Rudolph. Yeah, that long ago. We're talking about Christian Ponder. This was also a game where we really saw, in my opinion, the absolute emergence of Demaryius Thomas during Tebow Mania when it was running wild in Denver. Now, Demaryius Thomas had a huge game for the Denver Broncos. Primarily, he caught 2 touchdown passes from Tim Tebow in the third quarter alone. And Percy Harvin would go on to haul in a long pass from Christian Ponder. Yeah, that long ago, which would have the Broncos trailing 22-21 entering the fourth quarter on the road. Now, Harvin in the opening parts of the fourth quarter would score once again, and it was almost seeming like the Vikings would rip out the heart of the Denver Broncos. That put them up 29-21, but hold on. Willis McGahee, yes, the man, the myth, the legend, he emerged and said enough is enough. He scampered for a 24-yard run, bounced it up the right side of the sideline, and the Broncos would go on to score a touchdown, and Tim Tebow would convert the 2-point conversion, obviously on a zone read. He'd keep it, get in the end zone. 29-29, the Denver Broncos tied the game. Now, at this point, it was just crazy. It was crazy. You know, the Vikings were going to kick another field goal. Andre Goodman was having a really tough game in coverage. The Broncos all around were having a really tough game on defense. They gave up over 480 yards of total offense to the Vikings in this game, but he redeemed himself. Andre Goodman redeemed himself. He picked off Christian Ponder without a minute remaining, and Matt Prater would come on to off the bench, and he would kick the game-winning field goal that would give the Denver Broncos a 35-32 win in Minnesota. That was a tough game. That was a game of ups and downs, roller coaster of emotions. I remember that game clear as day. It was very, very stressful. Christian Ponder was looking like a legitimate MVP candidate, minus the 2 interceptions he threw to the Denver Broncos at that point. But the more recent matchup that the Denver Broncos and the Minnesota Vikings had was back in 2015, the Broncos Super Bowl season. And to be honest with you, this was a tough game. That, you know, this was a tough display of defense by the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning's offensive struggles kind of continued. And we saw some magician-like plays from Teddy Bridgewater, who just, no matter how good the pressure was or how good the coverage was, he would throw it going down. And obviously, a guy would catch the ball. Now, Ronnie Hillman, he had the biggest score of the game in the first half with a big 72-yard run on a toss from Peyton Manning, and his speed did the rest. The Broncos would head into halftime up 13-10, and at that point they gave up a touchdown to Keith Tlaib, gave up a touchdown to Mike Wallace with about 12 seconds remaining in the second quarter. So that obviously cleared the deficit up a little bit for the Vikings. 13-10, Broncos up at halftime. They open up the second half. They played stifling defense over Adrian Peterson, over Teddy Bridgewater. It was very fun to watch, and the only score would come on a 4th-and-1 in the red zone for the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning found Owen Daniels on a play-action play to put the Broncos up 20-10 heading into the fourth quarter. Now, here's where things got a little interesting. The Broncos defense was playing really tough, really tight at this point. It was a 4th-and-1, so the Broncos stacked the box with Adrian Peterson there. Adrian Peterson somehow ran straight up the A-gap untouched for a 48-yard touchdown. That would make the score 20-17. Peyton Manning would go on to throw an interception to Harrison Smith, and the Vikings would drive down the field and settle for a field goal to tie the game at 20. This was a stressful game as well. 2015, the Broncos earned a lot of their wins on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But Denver would tack on a field goal to obviously go up 23-20. The Vikings would have just about a minute left in the game to drive down the field, either tie the game or try to win the game with a touchdown score. The Vikings had the ball, and they'd drive down to about the 50-yard line. And, you know, Stephon Diggs had a phenomenal game this game against the Denver Broncos. They got into, a little bit of field goal range, got backed up by a penalty, but the drive would stop after T.J. Ward forced a fumble on Teddy Bridgewater, blitzing off the edge, and Von Miller would recover the fumble and the Broncos would hold on for a tough win at home, 23-20 over the Minnesota Vikings. That was a tough season. I think the Minnesota Vikings defense played really tough. Anthony Barr had an interception on Peyton Manning as well. This was really, I think, the emergence of the Minnesota Vikings. And they're still a tough team, prominent right now. But we're getting, obviously, that kind of ties into the hot takes a little bit. You have Teddy Bridgewater at the point. He was the quarterback for the Vikings. We could see Teddy Bridgewater, based on my hot take, in Denver here in a matter of a couple days or even a couple weeks. Who knows? But the Broncos and the Vikings will meet once again this Saturday in Denver for a 7 p.m. kickoff at Broncos Stadium at Mile High. And you can catch all the action by watching on the NFL Network, or you could just purchase a ticket through Vivid Seats. Remember, just use promo code LOCKEDON to get 10% off your first ticket purchase today at VividSeats.com. We'd like to thank them for sponsoring tonight's episode of the show. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of Locked on Broncos. I'd like to thank all you fans once again for tuning in and listening to the show, Locked on Broncos, for once again another amazing episode. We got Hot Take Tuesday every week. You, the fans, send your hot takes in. They'll be on the show as well. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at CodyRourkeNFL. You can follow my co-host Cameron Parker at Cameron Parker PO. And you can follow the Locked On Broncos Twitter handle at Locked On Broncos. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Go Broncos.